Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. It is finally Friday. That's the good news. The bad news is, Wendy, as you mentioned, snow is in the forecast.
I didn't mention it. Were you reading my thought bubble?
Yes, Steve mentioned it. I heard you think it.
I just can't. I'm searching right now the record for the latest snow in Chicago.
We've had it in May.
In May for sure.
What?
Oh, yeah. Well into May. Well deep into May.
Like this substantial amount or a dusting?
I don't remember any blizzards coming in May, but I remember on several occasions where you look outside and you go, it's May. Why is it snowing outside?
It may not snow.
That's our bumper sticker.
I remember it was like 3 or 4 years ago on Mother's Day that it snowed.
Yep. Yep. Happy Mother's Day. Get out your shovel, Mom.
We'll make breakfast as soon as you're back.
Right.
I keep looking at my shovel as I'm trying to determine wow. what I do with it.
Yeah.
Can
we have listeners send in suggestions?
Right.
I have the garden shovel, the spade, if you will,
yes,
that I've been using.
Take a long time to clean your driveway.
I know, but I keep looking at the snow shovel that's out on the front and back porch, and I'm like, yeah, maybe
nope.
not yet.
Nope. My scraper is still in my back seat.
Just leaving that year round. I've decided.
That's not a bad idea.
Because you never know
it's
when
a
you
good
might
idea.
Get.
There should be some summery attachment on a scraper, so you
a
know
flower.
That. Yeah,
for bugs.
Right. Oh, a fly swatter.
Oh, yeah,
no, off your windshield and your headlights.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
those are very solid ideas. That way, you could use it year round. There's things in the colder weather months. There's things in the warmer weather months. It's beneficial for everybody.
According to Tom Skilling on a very old article on ChicagoTribune.com, the city's latest measurable snow occurred May 11th, 1966, 0.2 inches.
Mm.
But this could be up to six
yeah.
north and the near the Wisconsin state line where Mary's going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Wow.
I wanted to take the babies to the zoo, know, have a little fun outside. Oh, well.
Well, if they live in Wisconsin, just tell them to get used to it.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
right.
They are.
My son,
a terrible winter.
My son, Michael, has a gig at the LaGrange Historical Society tomorrow to celebrate Derby Day. It's outside in the courtyard. Let me tell you that plans were changed to accommodate the indoors because
sure.
it might snow.
Right, right.
I don't understand it.
Yep. Yeah.
Insignificant.
See, these snowfalls for me are easy because
they don't stick around.
Yeah, you know, they'll come and go, and you know we've defeated snow.
It's Do you even shovel?
Oh, not tomorrow. It's going to be 50 on Sunday. That
right.
high tomorrow is going to be 46. So it'll melt when it hits the ground. Most of it, anyway, the asphalt and streets and stuff.
Whose fault was it, Steve?
Mine.
The asphalt.
Okay.
Well, remember this happened a couple weeks ago, and it was such a problem with the roads. Traffic was so bad because they had taken all of the gear, the plows
yeah.
off the trucks already.
And that was a Sunday.
Yeah, it was terrible. Oh, my gosh. People were crashing left and right. It was not
That was
not
pretty good. Substantial.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm worried about because, like you said, people don't shovel. They don't take the snow off their roofs, and the snow blows on everybody driving, and they get hit with snow.
Yeah.
You know?
Not good for anybody,
no.
Mary.
How do you think that's a good idea to leave like this giant thing on the roof of your car?
Yeah, and semis
do
it all
that?
The time.
Well, I mean, you know, semis have a hard time cleaning it
yes.
off. Unless they find a really low underpass.
Yeah.
And judge it just perfectly.
Right.
Viaduct.
I've been behind them.
But I have like a broom, one of those push brooms.
I knew you did.
Okay. First of all, witches do not ride the push brooms.
Oh. I thought
but
you were updating your equipment.
No, I have one on the porch to reach the top of our
oh, sure,
SUV because other, you know, I'm short. I can't.
Yeah.
The snow brush won't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, don't leave it up there because here's an idea. It's going to come off.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the big deal?
Partner with Steve. He's tall. He can reach every part of the car. He's
right.
amazing that way.
I can handle the undercarriage, Steve.
Yes.
You can do the roof.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go into business.
Sounds like a Donnie Marie song.
All right, let us take a quick break, and then when we come back, I was listening to Steve Cochran's show this morning, and
me
something
too.
Made me so angry. Did
Uh-oh.
Something make you angry during Steve's show? Something made me incredibly
yes.
angry.
I know
let's
where
see
you're
if
going.
It's the same thing. It might be the same thing. All right, that's coming up. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He's got Sammy Hagar on today.
Yes, he does.
I'll be listening to Pete
He's
and Jane.
The Red Rocker, Wendy.
Yes, he is.
All right, I had Steve Cochran's show on my way in today. And this is what happened, and it made me angry. Bridget Gaynor was on. She's a frequent contributor to the show. She didn't make me angry. I like her
She's
a lot.
Great.
She's really good. Very, very good. So they were talking about how somebody here, Bennett, who works here at WGN, even though he's a young guy, he's 26 years old, he bought his own house. And they were saying the odds of this are rough because a 25-year-old, 26-year-old, they can't buy their own house. They've got all sorts of college debt. So then they were getting very specific, and Bridget mentioned that she went to U of I, and when she went there,
I know,
not that long ago, it was $7,000 for everything.
Room and board, tuition.
Everything.
Bang,
when
bang,
I went
boom.
There, it was $5,000.
$5,000.
Mm-hmm.
How can it go up that
but
much,
now it's $35,000 right
now. I think
now.
It's more.
Is it
even.
More than that? All right, so in one generation, look at the math there. That's obscene. And we just keep falling for it. I fell for it twice. I said I wasn't going to do it because I saw this coming. And I went, somebody's got to take a stand. And I was hoping to be one of those people that just said, no, I'm not paying those outrageous college prices. And then it was explained to me by every other member of my family, no, you kind of have to. There's no other way around it.
But it just seems so unfair. I mean, we kind of budgeted 25 grand a year for Michael to go away to college. And every place he looked at was not 25 grand.
No place. Right.
I mean, not locally, not nowhere.
How did this happen? Because it's not like a slight increase. It's not in line with the increases that everything else has endured over the last generation. It's five times, it's six times what it was 30 years ago. Where will it be 30 years from now if it's this high now?
And Steve Cochran put it into perspective when he said something about $75,000 a year for some of these places.
Right.
And you are not guaranteed when you come out to even make $75,000 a year.
Not by a long shot.
It may take you 10 years to make $75,000 a year.
So if you look at the results of that, number one, you're either going to be a kid who just graduated from school and all of a sudden you're down $250,000 because you paid for your own school, or the parents are down that money, and maybe that was their retirement fund, probably, yeah. Unless you're extremely rich. So what do we do next? How do we stop this? It's so unfair.
Well, that's why community colleges are such a good idea. Michael did not he wanted to go away to school to Belmont in Nashville, and I wanted to go too because I wanted to be his roommate.
Oh.
Like on Arrested Development.
Oh, that would be
Michael
great.
Bluth, I could just, I loved it there.
Yeah, sure.
But then realistically, you look into it, and it's like, go get your gen eds out of the way. He's doing great at COD. It's just you don't have the same experience because it's a commuter school. People
right.
don't hang in the quad.
Right.
You know, they right. drive in, they drive out. But it's not that expensive to do a community college.
But they're still, as able as they are to do what they're supposed to do, there's still a stigma attached where when you graduate from high school and all the kids are going, I'm going to this school, I'm going to this school. If you say you're going to a community college, you get a lot of, oh, that's nice.
But good, then they have richer parents. Because that's the thing. Is it May 1st that's signing day or something?
Yeah.
And everybody wears their school sweatshirts. You know, you're not going to be wearing a College of DuPage.
Right.
What are they? The Chaparrals.
The Chaparrals?
Yeah, it's
really?
Like a, yeah, I think that's their, it's like a Roadrunner. That's what it is.
Oh.
So, of course, Michael wasn't going to wear that. And, you know, but that stigma needs to be erased as well.
You would hope. You would absolutely hope. But I'm telling you, the bills, when we get our bill, I'm paying quarterly what it used to cost for me to go to school for the year. It's insane.
And I think you probably just touched on it, but the fact is it's not just the students who are being impacted. It's the parents who are trying to retire.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden now they are carrying, because they're parent plus loans and things like that, significant debt into their retirement.
Absolutely.
So if we boycott all these universities, won't they have to drop their prices?
I'm trying to do the math on that in my head, trying to figure out if enough people say enough is enough, we can't afford this anymore. It is literally obscene what you guys are charging us to go to your schools.
And then you see them building big, beautiful
buildings
on the campus, or the like physical education buildings and rec centers. You're like, what?
Okay.
That's where the money's going.
Here's the weirdest solution ever.
What is it, Steve?
I think you should charge students much more to apply to a school. And I know that makes no sense. I don't really mean it. But what happened, and this is, I have many theories, probably I wouldn't put a lot of stock in any of them, but You know, now students can, with the joint application or whatever it's called, you can apply to 15, 20 different schools. So then those schools will accept, you know, say you get 12 schools accepting you, then those 12 schools who need you because they've committed to you start competing to try to keep you.
So it becomes such a seller's market that it's up to them.
In a way. Yeah. And so then we ended up with sushi bars in the cafeteria, you know, and multi-billion dollar gyms and all of that. And I mean, I really think that's where a lot of the money's being spent, on all of these, you know, sort of fancy lures to get students to go there.
Oh, there's so it's many ridiculous. Traps
and
like
the dorms,
that.
They're making suites. Everything has to be a suite.
Yeah, what is that?
Like, come on, put the kid in a dorm with one other kid, and like we used to have.
Shared wasn't
bathrooms.
Pretty at Illinois State when I went there for a semester.
It makes us sound old, but you know the food was crap, and you ate it,
right?
And then your room
and
was hot.
30 pounds and freshman year.
Yeah, your room had, you know, it was hot, and you
the
were
showers on the hallway that everybody had to share. Now you have your own bathroom in a suite sometimes.
Right.
It's called the Common App, by the way, and you're right, Bertrand.
Yeah, Common App.
You can just fill out for various schools, but if we all refuse to pay it,
right.
Don't they have to reduce? Can't we do like an anti-GoFundMe? Like, don't yes. fund them or something?
Right.
Can't
That's
we start
what it
a petition?
I love that idea.
And then all the applications that kids file, they all want to go visit 20 schools.
Right.
It's just crazy. And I mean, I gave my kids three choices. I said, you're going to go three. That's all the college visits I'm doing is three. So you pick them. That's what I did.
Three seems fair, man.
Yeah, it was like a private school, a public school, and, you know, your choice.
I was just reading that kids are putting off college and going to trade schools because now there's a shortage of some of the trades, mm-hmm. and they're going to end up making a lot of money with no student loan to pay back. That's kind of the way to go.
If the trade schools are low priced enough for that to be reality,
are they?
Yeah. It's so upsetting, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. You know,
and I don't see them all of a sudden. And I wondered with this whole pay to play thing with Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman, if something was going to change because of that, like maybe they would reduce their prices, but.
But not yet.
No.
Don't you think this is as upsetting, if not more upsetting, than the fact that there are rich people that are buying their kids into schools? The fact that schools are charging whatever price they want simply because they can.
Yeah, it's just...
They're just taking advantage of people left and right. And then it's a tab that you're on, some people for the rest of their lives, trying to balance that out.
There was a kid we worked with at WLS when we were over there, and I don't want to mention his name, but he put himself through college, graduated from Columbia, and he came out with $250,000 debt. And I'm like, what are your payments per month? And it was more than my mortgage was.
Right.
How do you do that? And he was running a board overnight.
So he's got that hanging over his head. He's probably 22 or 23 years old, somewhere in that area. He's already down $250,000 working a job that's not going to pay that off for 20 years.
And lived, you know, in an apartment. Yeah. I don't even understand how that is possible.
I know. So, getting back to the beginning, that's what made me so angry, is because I've been hearing this for years. I've lived it twice. One of my daughters is still in school, so we're still making those payments. But it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And colleges aren't bending at all. They're not realizing this.
All right, this says it all from 847. Guys, I have an 8-year-old, 6-year-old, and 4-year-old, and you guys are giving me anxiety this morning. Start saving yesterday.
It's going to be worse when those kids are in. It's as bad as it is now. It's going to be worse.
How can it get worse? How can it honestly get any worse? Doesn't it have to stop and go the other way for anybody to go to these schools?
Sharon, my wife thinks that this is the height of it, that our kids will have paid more for college than anyone ever.
And it will start.
How will it go the other way, though, Steve? What will happen?
Because admission, no one's going to go.
Well, I don't know about that, Wendy. I mean, I don't know if the admissions have slowed down yet.
I don't think they have,
because it's a pretty bold step, unless you are committed to the trades.
Yeah.
To just say I'm not going. Because another problem is, and we talk about this on the business lunch, there are a lot of jobs that for which you do not. Does not require a bachelor's degree,
right?
But the job requirements are a bachelor's degree. You know what I'm saying? So you could do the job without a college education. It doesn't really need it to be able to do the
job. But they won't look at you without
exactly.
Because
exactly.
Yeah,
that's the catch. Awful.
That's a big catch.
Huge catch.
What, I mean, experience counts more than, you know, getting straight A's in gen eds.
It should count more. Although, how much experience, if you're of college age, experience is going to be hard to come by anyway.
I mean, well, not if you can still do an internship or something.
Then.
I mean, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. But instead, I mean,
you make me sad. I listen to Elizabeth, snow's coming.
I know.
And college sucks.
I listen to Elizabeth Warren's plan about forgiving debt, and you say, oh, that would be fantastic. It's near impossible.
And what about the people who have already struggled to pay it back? That doesn't seem fair.
But if I was Elizabeth Warren, instead of going for this dream of an idea, because that's what it is, it's a dream of an idea, it'd be very hard to pull that off, I would work more on this, work more on finding some way to make college's price go down. That's a more realistic get. You know?
Well, who's given us free college? Isn't that Bernie Sanders?
There were qualifications to it, but Bernie Sanders is one of the people that looked at that.
He can't
as an
do
idea.
That. Sounds great. No wonder all the young kids love him.
Yeah. Well, it should be the young kids' parents who love him, because it's usually the parents that are on the hook for the money. All right, let's
It'll
do this.
Never work.
Glum. From Gulliver's Travels. Glum. Yeah, all right.
News time
right now, Wendy.
Then we're going to talk about a new show called The Red Line that you can find on CBS All Access. One of the stars, Elizabeth Laidlaw, will be on. Noah Wiley is in this new thing. It's based in Chicago, and I'm pretty excited. Oh.
Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Elizabeth Laidlaw is in studio with us. Actor, director, producer. She has a new show called The Red Line coming up on CBS and CBS All Access.
Sunday it debuts.
Sunday's the first episode. That's first correct. Of all, thank you for being here.
I'm delighted to be
here.
We
really
here.
Appreciate it.
Me.
And I want to warn you, Wendy has 1,000 questions for you, but they're all about Noah Wiley.
No, I will. I do love him, and he is in it with you.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
He's a great guy, isn't he?
He is a great guy. He's a wonderful actor. I don't need to tell anybody that, but he's a great guy off camera, too. He's very funny. He's very laid back. He's, you know, he likes to just show up, do his job, you know. He's mm-hmm. not a, you know, there's no diva there at
oh,
all.
Oh, good.
He's a
really
That's great
good
guy.
To hear. We were commiserating off the air because you heard us talking about college mm-hmm. education.
Yes.
You went to an Illinois school for college, did you not?
I did. I went to Illinois Wesleyan University.
Are you still paying that off?
No, I am not. My father was able to help me out a lot. Also, when I got into Wesleyan, my father was like really, like literally the first thing he said was like, oh, you know what? This was listed as the best buy in the Midwest, you know, for college. And my college, it was nowhere near.
I know.
I mean, I graduated in 1993.
Yeah.
And like, it was nowhere near.
It's a fraction of what it is
today. It was like not cheap because it was a private college. It was a little bit more expensive than maybe a state
school. Probably $12,000 a year.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's reasonable.
Yeah.
And there were coupons in the paper. You could pay with coupons.
Clipper coupons.
Right.
No, but that was like literally like the thing that he was proudest of is I'd managed to find a good school that was like a good buy.
Oh,
so,
good.
And he was really pleased with that. And, you know, he was able to help me with that. So I'm very fortunate in that regard. But I don't think if college prices were then what they are now, I would have a lot of debt.
Oh, without
sure.
a doubt.
Yeah.
For
no
sure.
Question.
I don't think anybody but the wealthiest can just fly their kids through school. So.
Were your parents thrilled, your family thrilled when you said, I think acting is the way I'm going to go?
To be perfectly honest, I mean, I'm a very lucky gal in that regard. They never, ever said anything like you should find something to fall back on.
Wow.
They really
great
did
parents.
They really didn't.
Good.
I'd been doing it from a very young age. I think they saw very clearly that it's not only what I wanted to do, but I was quite good at it.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I'm not blowing, it's just I'm not good at a lot of things, but I'm pretty good at this.
Master this.
I think my father, the only thing both my parents said, I mean, when I was like, you know, 19, I was like, I'm going to go to LA and be a star, you know, and my father, I remember having this conversation with my father, and my mother definitely backed him up on this. They said, go to college, have the experience of finishing something on your own. You know, we're not there over your shoulder every night to make sure you do your homework. You mm-hmm. have to, this is the first time as a young adult that you accomplish something mm-hmm. on your own. Now I'm gonna make sure you can stay in college. I'm gonna pick up the tab. I mean, I had to live in the dorms for a lot of it, and yeah.
Not everybody gets a cushy apartment.
I eventually got a it wasn't a cushy apartment. It was pretty, pretty scary apartment actually, with like 8 roommates. But you know, any extra money I wanted, I had to. So I had an on-campus job too. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't just.
Was you know, no free yeah. ride.
No.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to keep my grades up, obviously. So, but it was very important to him that I sort of kind of figure out how to see a goal, you know, have a goal set by my teachers.
That's great advice. Or,
you know, and like get this thing done. And if there's one thing that that I'm really worried about, for as we were saying off the air, is that if our kids do like an internship rather than a college experience, how does that change
right.
for them, like right. they don't get to accomplish that to have that sort of 4-year
mm-hmm.
like I did this on my own, I got this done. You walk up, you get that diploma, you're like, I earned this right. is mine, you know, this is something I did. And then every time you think, oh, I can't do this, you can kind of think back to that moment, like, nope, I can get through this thing.
And that's good,
you know?
For you,
it is you good for that. You it is good for you, yeah. I hope there's a way for kids to be able to, I mean, I hope my son can find yeah. that, you know, for himself.
Mm.
So this acting thing worked out for you pretty well, and you are in a new series called the Red Line series. What is the part you're playing?
I play Officer Victoria Renna. She's a veteran Chicago police officer. She's still in a squad car. She's a beat cop. She's not a detective. So she is the partner of Noel Fisher's character, Officer Paul Evans, who mistakenly shoots a black physician in a convenience store holdup. He shoots the wrong guy. Mm. And, I'm there on the scene. I sort of run in about a second after the shots are fired. And so I'm witness to the event, and I'm his partner. So I'm connected through the events as they play out through the rest of the series.
What sort of research, Elizabeth, did you ride with actual Chicago cops or not?
We really wanted to.
Yeah.
At this point in time, there are the force didn't want actors riding along just for insurance reasons and for safety reasons and whatever. But we did have several on-set police officers who we were able to consult with and talk to. And one of our stunt guys is a former police officer.
Oh.
So, you know, we were able to, like, have conversations with
yeah.
them and, you know, ask them about stuff. And our writers also had extensive conversations with the police officers in terms of, like, just, you know, trying to get, like, elements of procedure right. Like, the way we run in with our weapons, you
yeah.
know, we actually did it by the book, which is not as sexy looking as you usually see on TV, like that cool kind of, like, with the hands down
yeah.
at the side.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, you know, that's actually not how they run in. There's this sort of weird, you'll see it, there's kind of this awkward, like, clutch up around the chest that you do with the weapon, but that's designed to lessen the chance of an accidental firing, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But it's also, it lets you bring the weapons it starts out at chest height as opposed to having to be brought up, which it was all explained to us at the time, but like
it's more dramatic.
Yeah, this is very sexy looking. This is sort of, you know, nobody can see what I'm doing
from the holster up.
Yeah, that whole kind of thing that you often see. We had to actually sort of hold it up here, which is weirdly awkward.
Yeah.
The police officer's like, yeah, it's awkward, it's not cool looking, but it's safer and it's smarter, you know.
So do you have to negotiate with, like, what do we want? Do we want sexy or do we want realistic?
On this show.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we were all inclined to going towards realistic,
yeah.
because this is the show is meant to be very close to the ground and realistic, and not, it's not about, like, everybody looking cool. It's
right.
about, you know, telling a really faithful story.
Have you played a police officer before?
I've played a bunch.
Have
and
you?
I've played more if you consider that I've played an FBI agent as well. So, you know, that was I had a gun holster for that one too.
Yeah.
And
what is it about you that's how casting agents see you, do you think?
I'm quite tall. I'm 6 feet.
Yeah.
I look like I can hold myself up in a fight, so that's probably I like to think I can.
Yeah. So they see that and they go,
yeah.
this will translate to
yeah.
law enforcement.
I think law enforcement, I think I probably just, 'cause I'm tall and I have a deep voice and whatever else it is about my bearing, that I look like somebody you know, who might be in a position of
yeah.
I've been in a lot of, I've played a lot of authority figures.
Oh, you good. Know,
I played doctors and police yeah. officers and FBI agents and that kind
and
of
a
thing.
Lot of stage yeah. work here in Chicago as well.
Yes.
Now, you weren't born here, but did you?
I was born in North Carolina, but we only lived, my father was at UNC Law School when I was born.
This explains the thick Southern accent.
But, I know, right? Well, I mean, if I want to sound like my grandmother, I don't have to, I just,
wow.
You know, I go right there.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, just bring it to a ball and throw it in the oven.
Born yeah, there, but raised here.
Yeah, I was raised here in Chicago. My parents, my father lived out in Hinsdale, and my mother lived here in Chicago. Oh. And it was very amicable separation. So we went back and forth between them and my mom, you know. I mean, I started living here in Chicago from about the time I was 8 years old. So yeah. I lived in a whole bunch of neighborhoods, kind of moving slowly up the...
Nice.
The Clybourne corridor as it gentrified. Every time it gentrified, we'd move out and go a little further west, you know.
It's safe. We can
yeah.
go now.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Red Line series is based here in
yeah.
Chicago.
Yep. Based and entirely shot here, too.
It is.
Yep. Entirely
awesome.
Shot
I love
here.
That.
Every frame.
All right. Yeah. The premiere is this Sunday night, April 28th, 7 p.m. Central Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's on CBS Regular
yes.
and CBS All Access
yes.
as well.
It's on both. It'll
okay.
be on both platforms. Yeah.
And that's a new thing. I don't think anyone's done that before.
You know, I don't believe so. I you know, you should probably fact check me on this, but I think this is the first show that's going to be
wow.
available.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Very
so,
impressive.
Yeah.
A quick break and then more with Elizabeth Laidlaw. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy with you on WGN, along with Elizabeth Laidlaw, an actress who is one of the stars, along with Noah Wiley, Wendy. I didn't want to leave Noah Wiley out.
I'm over him.
The
all
Red Line premieres Sunday on CBS and on CBS All Access. When you were growing up, Elizabeth, were you a fan of cop shows? Did you watch them with any regularity?
What I was allowed to watch, you know, as a young person. I remember, like, getting, you know, being able to kind of get some glimpses of Hill Street Blues.
Yeah, the best.
Which is the best.
That was a great show.
But, I mean, it was a little on the young side to be sort of able to watch that as it went on for a long time. So as
yeah.
I got older, it kind of played during a time when I needed to be getting my homework done. So, but I was able to see, you know, and that really, I think, set a tone for cop shows. And I was a big fan of NYPD Blue
yeah.
back in the day.
That
I pretty
was
much
really
watched
great.
That beginning to end. And Dennis Franz, who's a Chicagoan, was also, you know.
Big Franz's butt.
Yes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Nobody, the butt that rocked the world. It actually, like, backed off on the butt shots
yeah.
on network TV. You know, it was like there's this sort of butt renaissance for a minute there. And then it kind of, we backed up. But what's interesting.
The rumplesance, I believe it was referred
yeah.
to.
This show, it's interesting. This is not a cop show.
Yeah.
This is a show about a tragedy involving a police officer. And by extension, obviously, because it's, you know, there's a criminal case and then, you know, a civil case, you know, as always happens, that occur around this, the police department is brought in on it. And also fellow police officers are involved in this man's story because that's
right.
his world. So that the police represent one or this man, his police family, his mm-hmm. his actual blood family, because Michael Patrick Thornton plays his brother and a former police officer. They're involved, but they're one side of the story. Another side of the story is Chicago politics and Emma Yahtzee Cornaldi's character, Tia Young, running for office and sort of encountering the you know, the mess that is Chicago politics,
yeah.
you know, and the history and the legacy and the you know, how that's all organized. And then a third part of the story is the grieving family, you know, this man who's lost his husband and this young woman who's lost her father. So there, it's really about three families. So it's really not a cop show.
Mm-hmm.
There are police in the show. The police mm-hmm. are a big part of the story, but it's, you know, you don't really, with a couple of exceptions, you don't see us like running around every episode making arrests,
right.
you know, I mean,
right.
you see us at work, but it's sort of incidental
yeah.
in a lot of
sure.
ways.
It's almost like it's plucked from the headlines with things going on.
It certainly is.
Maybe different versions, an African-American doctor,
mm-hmm.
but shot by a white cop.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way is it three different families that are all kind of
yeah,
involved in
yeah.
this?
Yeah, I mean,
because we don't yeah. see the other side of things, and it's going to be interesting to watch that.
We don't. And, you know, we're at a we are, no matter where you're sitting on the political spectrum, we are at a point, I think, a very serious crisis in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's listening to each other and everybody's yelling at each other. And we're dehuman, you know, and I think the internet is a big problem with this. I mean, Twitter, you know, the way we can insult each other with impunity, you know,
instantaneously
online and from
too.
A distance, you know, you don't have that sense of empathy. Like you say yep. something terrible to somebody to their face mm-hmm. and you have to deal with the repercussions of whatever that made them feel. And
right.
when you have that distance. So I think there's just so much anger going on. We've stopped listening to each other. It's just getting worse. And I think the hope of the producers and the writers and everybody else is that if we see all of the people involved in this kind of story as human beings,
yeah.
with all their flaws and all of their ambitions and their fears, you know, that most people operate from a place of wanting to preserve and protect the people around them,
sure.
you know, the people they care about,
right.
their, you know, the things that mean to them. You know, nobody in this story is operating from a place of that's like evil.
Right.
You know, they're all operating from a place of like, I have these people around me that I need to look after, and I'm going to do that the best I can. And I think we'd all like to think that we would make the best choice
right.
in a given moment.
Yeah.
You know, if confronted with something terrible, that we'd do the best possible thing. But you know, let's
you
be
know.
Honest. If you look back in your life, how many times did you
right.
do the best possible thing? How many
yeah.
times were your actions completely heroic? And I think maybe if you have a really good life, you can point to a couple of moments where you did something that pointed true north on the moral compass.
You know what, though? When you say that and you mm-hmm. think back and, you know, maybe you've done some crappy things in your mm-hmm. life. When I think back, I'm so regretful and I learned and never did it again.
Sure.
People aren't learning now. They're just continuing.
Yeah. No, and I think that what I do love about the story is I think all of these characters do. Everybody has an opportunity to grow a little bit, to change. And there's a lot of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of this season, that I think is very much what they wanted to talk about.
When you're working on a show that is a very serious subject matter, mm-hmm. no question, mm-hmm. is it still fun? Are you
oh
still having?
God.
You're still having a good time. Good.
It is so much fun. It is an incredible crew.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody, you know, everybody in the hair and makeup trailer and, you know, our wardrobe costume people, every single person on the set, like, you know, I was like, I loved showing up at work. I was laughing the whole time.
Oh,
I loved all of our directors that I've known, Caitlin and Erica, who are the creators, and Michael Thornton, who plays Jim Evans. I've known all of them for, you know, we're all Chicago people. We've known each other forever.
Yeah.
So there was a real camaraderie and easiness on set. And, you know, Noel Fisher and Michael and I sort of had to play a family, and the characters on screen are always sort of, there's a lot of contention. There's all this, there's this terrible stuff going on around us
yeah.
and that we're involved in. And so the characters are very tense, but off camera, we're just giggling all the time.
Oh, good.
Like, that extended, I mean, you know, you know, the whole cast, we're very easy with each other.
So you show hysterically yeah. funny outtakes at the end of every episode.
I don't even know, like, they're probably so stupid, they're not even worth putting on a gag reel. Like, they're just, you know, they're like
inside stuff.
Yeah, just, they're yeah. like, we would just start giggling and nobody knew why. And like, I mean, but it was always like, it was like after a take, like, they yell cut and we'd just be like,
right.
And it was so serious, but I think it helped. You know, certainly, I mean, these stories are very segmented. So I spent most of my time on set with Michael and Noel and Sebastian Sozzi, who plays another police officer. So most of my time on set was with those guys. And then, like, so there's, you know, the we don't overlap too much,
yeah.
you know. I mean, there is some overlap, but the stories are a little bit separated. So... Yeah, we had a great time.
Good.
We had a really good time together.
And, that's excellent.
And I loved going to work, you know.
Can't wait to see it. It's called The Red Line. It's based on Chicago, shot in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You're from Chicago.
I am.
She is Elizabeth Laidlaw. I did learn something off the air. I grew up in Brookfield, live in LaGrange mm-hmm. now, and there's a school in Western Springs that has a connection to you.
Yes, the Laidlaw Elementary School was named after my great-grandfather, John Laidlaw. He was a book publisher. He published
textbooks.
Laidlaw Brothers book. Since been sold to Doubleday. My grandfather, who's still with us, he's in his 90s. He's in great health. He lives in North Carolina, and he is retired, long retired, and he sold the business to Doubleday. But Laidlaw, it still exists. Yeah. It's still a subsidiary, and. As the story goes, my great grandfather really helped the school out particularly during the Depression. His publishing textbooks was one of the few industries that didn't get clobbered in the Depression, so he was able to make a lot of books possible to the school.
Take that, Lori Loughlin.
So. So that school was named for him. So
awesome. Nice little behind the scenes thing. She's Elizabeth Laidlaw, and watch her, The Red Line, also starring Noah Wiley, Sunday night, 7 p.m. Central, CBS and CBS All Access. Great to meet you.
Thank you. Great to meet you, too.
Thanks,
Thank you
Elizabeth.
Very much.
More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Friday, and that means a visit with Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com, to talk about television mostly, but not exclusively, because the most anticipated movie of the year opened today, The Avengers. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how are you doing?
We have to preface this by saying we are not going to give away any secrets about the movie. Right?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely
Under
not.
No circumstance. Keep the secrets, don't spoil the end game.
Right.
Hashtag.
Right. So you have or have not seen it yet?
I have. I went last night to see it opening night because I could not come to the office this morning and hear people say, well, this isn't a spoiler, but. So,
right.
I've seen the movie. I went to see it last night. Have you guys checked it out yet?
We have not seen it yet.
I haven't even seen the first one, so I'm going to try and watch that this weekend. And I'm anxious to see it. People love it, although 3 hours, I don't know if I can make it without using the facilities.
Well, I will tell you, my boss actually loves this app. He's been talking about it nonstop because people have been talking about the runtime. The movie itself is 3 hours, but then you add in trailers and everything, it's at least 3.5 hours that you're going to be stuck in the movie theater. It's called runp.com, and it lets you know the best time to go and take a break during the movie. The hilarious thing, their website crashed yesterday because of Avengers Endgame. So many people want to know when they can take a break.
And it's runp.com.
Runp.com, yes.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Wow. See, it's not just me worried about that.
Not.
You rolled your eyes when I said that.
I was on so many websites today, and every one of them have a version of that story, and I think it's 3 hours. People can't go 3 hours.
But don't you have a big-ass drink and some candy or popcorn?
Yeah, but I've trained my kidneys to know when I can go and when I can't go.
Alexander, you may as well know this now. Bill, we think he's a Borg or a robot or something. He has never gone,
to the bathroom
in public.
Since February was the last time I used the restroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
You should see a doctor. That's
I guess. All right.
That,
I'll go see a doctor.
You should have that checked out.
Did the movie live up to expectations? Were you happy with what you saw?
It's fantastic. Like anything, there's going to be quibbles with it. We have a private group chat going at work here today where everybody's talking about little bits of the movie, but it completely delivers for fans of the series. Even if you've never seen the movies before, it does a good job of recapping everything in the movie and getting you up to speed. But it is a spectacle unlike anything that I've ever seen before. See it in the biggest movie theater possible with the most people possible. People screamed, people cried, like legit sobbing at points during the movie. It's great. It definitely pays off on the promise of what they wanted it to be, which is the culmination of 10 years and 23 movies.
Yeah. It's not in 3D, is it?
Well, there's an IMAX version.
3D. Yeah,
yeah, that
yeah, there's IMAX and there's 3D. But I don't know. I wear glasses. I try not to see things in 3D if possible because it gives me a big old headache.
Oh. Is there a black and white version of it?
Yeah, there's a silent version. They actually, it's
Howard
not
Hux?
A talkie.
Oh. All right. I love Buster Keaton. He always makes me laugh. All right, good. I'll see that version. Good. So it was, I'm guessing, it was filled to the rafters yesterday, not an open seat in the room, right?
The what theaters have been doing, please, please be nice to the people who are working in theaters this weekend if you're going to see it. They have shows going around the clock at this point. I believe AMC in particular has more showings for this one movie than they've ever had in their history, and they're all selling out. The initial box office receipts are out, and it made $60 million in the Thursday night previews, which is the most of all time. Fully expect for it to be at least the biggest Friday of all time and most likely the biggest opening weekend of all time. So get your candy, understand there's going to be long lines, understand it's going to be packed. But that said, if you don't have your tickets in advance, you still should have a chance to see it this weekend because there's so many showings going on. Theaters are more than making do for the demand.
Yeah. My husband was trying to find tickets last night online and could not find any for the IMAX version on the night they wanted to go. So it's still pretty tough to get tickets. Mm. Definitely get them in advance, though.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I can't wait to see it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm hearing great things. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk television with Alexander Zalbin from Decider.com. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill and Wendy with you on WGN, along with Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com. It's a fun website. Visit it, Decider.com. What about this panic over at Netflix over The Office, Alex? What can you tell us about it?
Sure. Well, this was from some news dropped by NBC Universal, which, like everybody else, is prepping their own streaming service. They mentioned that they are very eager to take back The Office from Netflix and put them on the streaming service, which we don't know when it's going to debut or what it is, maybe late 2019, more likely 2020, which set off a panic among people because, as it turns out, and as far as we've come to understand, things like The Office and Friends are still easily two of the most popular shows on Netflix. So much so that Netflix took the rare step to tweet out from their official account, and they said, "Hello, it's me with your regularly scheduled reminder that The Office will be on Netflix until 2021 at least." That said, we've been talking about that a little bit in The Office. That doesn't necessarily contradict the timeline laid out by NBC Universal. If they launch their service sometimes in 2020, if The Office is on until 2021, that kind of is saying sort of the same thing. So we'll have to see how this plays out. As always, it's going to come down to money. Does it make more sense for NBC to leave The Office on Netflix and get whatever licensing fees they're going to get off that, or take it to launch their own service? For now, The Office is safe exactly where it is. It's not going anywhere, at least for a year, it seems like. But we'll see what the future holds.
All right. That's good news. Game of Thrones, of course, the show that everybody's talking about in its last
except
season.
Us.
Except Wendy and myself. But everybody else seems to be. What should we know? It's winding down, right?
Well, this is the third episode of the season out of six. And this weekend's episode is one of the most hotly anticipated episodes of the show ever. It's the Battle of Winterfell. It's 80 minutes long, and reportedly it is the longest extended battle sequence in film or TV history. Previously, if you're a fan of Lord of the Rings, you probably know at the end of The Two Towers, the second movie,
There
was a 40-minute battle of Helm's Deep that was super intense. This is twice as long. So a lot of characters are expected to die. Everybody is very nervous about their faves. But at the very least, it should be an enormous spectacle that has never been seen anywhere before. And that's pretty exciting.
Isn't it funny that the number one movie and the number one TV show have a similar battle storyline going on right now?
This is, if there are any entertainment journalists listening out there, my heart goes out to you guys. This has been a rough week for everybody.
Yeah.
Writing nonstop about Avengers, writing nonstop about Game of Thrones. And as pop culture, it's been kind of a fascinating year to see Game of Thrones, which is this enormous global property, wrapping up. Certainly they're going to have prequels, but essentially it's coming to the end of its phase right now. Same thing with the Marvel movies. There's going to be plenty of Marvel movies coming up.
Right.
But Avengers Endgame is the end of that. And then the last thing, Star Wars, is ending its saga at the end of the year, too. So at least in terms of those properties, it's a very weird year to be a fan of things.
Yeah, yes, it is. Don't get attached to anything. That's the key. Yeah.
You know what's weird is like the way the seasons are ending, they're so scattered. Remember in the old days you'd watch TV and things would end and there'd be a summer break and different shows on. But now everything is ending at different times. Mm-hmm. Are there some new I'm into the comedies. I'm loving AP Bio. I love The Kids Are All Right. Is there something new that's coming up this summer that I can watch now that I'm kind of caught up on all my shows?
A new comedy this summer. I will say that there's a show called Bless This Mess that just debuted. There's only going to be a couple of episodes. It stars Lake Bell and Dax Shepard, and it's basically a fish out of water tale. But our viewers really like that a lot. That is currently on ABC.
It looks good.
I watched that last week.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it was fun, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a new one to get hooked in if you want.
How about this one? Did you see Lunatics? Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it, but this is from Chris Lilley, right?
Yeah, he's Australian. Very similar to the Tracy Ullman show in structure.
Oh.
Chris Lilley plays a bunch of characters, all different ages, all different sexes, all different backgrounds. He does a good job.
I loved the Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good.
It's in the same vein as that. Luke Perry made his final appearance on Riverdale. His character, of course, written out because of the death of Luke Perry. Yeah. It wasn't a long appearance, though, right? What happened there, Alex?
Well, you know, unfortunately, he passed away from a stroke on March 4th. He had the stroke the week earlier, so it's not anything they could have planned for or planned in any way. So it wasn't really a goodbye episode. There was a quick scene at the beginning of the episode where his character Fred Andrews has with his son Archie Andrews. It's a very passionate, you know, good, very heartwarming scene between a father and son, which was what Luke Perry was so good at. But it just sort of ends, and that's it for the character right now. Certainly, I think they'll address it at some point next season, but as is, his on-screen wife is played by Molly Ringwald. She's coming in for the last couple of episodes of the season. So my guess at this point is she's essentially subbing into the storyline where he was previously, which ultimately for a crazy murder cult show like Riverdale is probably a smart choice rather than bringing the action to a grating halt. Hopefully we will get some sort of a recognition of what happened to him and what happened to his character when they pick up for season four.
Alex, I also want to ask you about a show that looks really good. I'm hoping you're going to tell us it's really good. It's a show called Chambers with Uma Thurman and Tony Goldwyn. Is it worth seeing?
I've heard some mixed reviews about it, personally, but it certainly looks creepy and it has a good cast. Uma Thurman, Tony Goldwyn, supernatural drama series about a heart donor. Netflix, I think, is excelling and really figuring out that these things that have a good cast, maybe a little cheesy, maybe a little creepy, are exactly what people want to watch over the weekend. So even if it's not great, it's a very easy thing to pop in, check out 10 episodes, and you're done.
Are you as caught up as I am in this guy on Jeopardy, James Holzhauer, who just keeps winning and winning and winning?
I watched him yesterday. I love him.
He's amazing, isn't
he? This deadpan just answers. It's just, it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. Are you watching him at all, Alex?
I haven't been watching it, but we've been covering it pretty heavily on the site just because his run is very much unprecedented in Jeopardy. And that's what we love about the show, right? Every once in a while, these guys come out of the woodwork and they just absolutely kill it nonstop. And it's fun to speculate about when his run is going to end because it's going to end at some point. But right now, he's just going and going.
Here's a quick question, though. I've been reading about this. Jeopardy has a budget of what their winners have been winning, and this guy is doubling and sometimes tripling that budget. But won't they make that up in ad revenue because the ratings are so high during his reign? Isn't that how they'll balance it out?
Yeah, I'd have to assume they have some sort of plan like that. You know, they have to put together, what if somebody wins all of the money on one show? What do they do about that? So I don't think Jeopardy's going to shut down or go bankrupt or anything off of one guy.
Yeah, he's been so much fun to watch. Alex, thanks so much. We always appreciate talking to you. Alex is the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website for all things entertainment. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much. Alexander Zalbin, I really love television again. I really went through a phase where I wasn't watching it at all.
What won you back?
This Is Us helped.
Yeah?
I forgot to bring this up to Alexander, because remember Bertrand said, is that show This Is Us still on?
Yeah, yesterday he asked us if it
was
still on.
That's a strange question.
Well,
it died down a little bit, some of the hoopla about it.
Right. And also,
it's on break.
It's on break. We had the season finale a couple weeks ago, so they're not advertising it. So maybe he just lost track there. But yeah, he wondered if it was still on. We told him it was on right after the Virginian. He seemed confused by that.
All right. Well, we are going to go right to news. We're a little early. So I wanted to ask Alexander some more questions because we have some time to kill.
I was going through the stories we didn't get to with him. There's a new version. Did you ever see the movie Catch 22 years ago?
Yes.
Or read the book? There's a version coming out with George Clooney and an all-star cast that's like, I don't know if they call them miniseries anymore. It used to be if you had a show that only ran 3 or 4 episodes, it was a miniseries. So the other day I saw clips for, I'm going to call it a miniseries, even if they're not. It's Catch 22. It's a new version of Catch 22. It takes place in the old days, you know, just like the old one. I can't wait to see it. I don't know who's running it. I don't know what I was watching when I saw the ad for it. It looks really good. Clooney looks magnificent.
So he's in it and
he's
behind
the star
the
of it, and I think he's behind the scenes as well. Yeah.
It's funny because everybody says, it's a catch-22 situation, and so many people don't even know what that is. So I read the book in high school. It was required
Heller,
reading.
I think, right? Is that who wrote it?
That's correct. I love that book.
Eric Rung.
Thank you, Eric.
I had to jump in on that. It's one of my favorite books of all time.
Yeah, Yossarian is the lead guy, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I have to reread that. That's something that...
Really good.
Listen, when I was in high school and was forced to read a book, I rebelled against it.
Yeah.
I ended up reading it. Maybe there were some cliff notes involved. But I hate having a time limit. And then I have gone back to rereading a lot of the books, like George Orwell's 1984.
Yeah.
I read before it was 1984. So I was like, oh, that's so none of this is going to happen. And rereading it, I want to reread books that I was forced to read in high school because I'm telling you, you enjoy it much
without
more.
Without a doubt, sure. You
when
appreciate
it's
it
not
more.
Pressed on.
Wendy, do you have a place in your heart for more show business music? Show business facts. I'm sorry, not show business music.
Oh, okay.
That music.
That's no business
I know.
Like show business. No business I know.
Wow.
It's Friday. Bertrand inspires
Look
me.
Look what happened. A cheetah just came to the window.
I got to sit down.
I don't know what
happened.
All right,
happened. Whatever. Steve, you got to quit fraternizing with Bill during
More
the breaks
show business
here.
News. Macaulay Culkin. Wendy just did a dead-on impression of Macaulay Culkin.
I just saw
Cheeks
him.
Cheeks in hand. Well, he's changing his name. He is legally changing his name. Where did you see him?
I saw him on...
At City Hall? So he could change his name?
It was some YouTube video. He was a guest appearance on somebody's show, and he has something to do with the new Toe Jam and Earl game that has been released.
Hmm. I don't know anything about that.
All right, well, I'll look into that. You tell me what you know.
He is changing his name, or trying to change his name. He's
Why?
Talking to authorities. He wants to change his name to Macaulay Culkin.
I don't have time for this.
Last November, actor, musician, and author Macaulay Culkin enlisted the help of the internet to choose a new middle name for himself using a poll on his lifestyle website. 60,900 people responded. These are people who enjoyed the work of Macaulay Culkin's and wanted to help find him a good middle name. The winner of the contest for his middle name was the name Macaulay Culkin. That came out on top. The number two choice, and I didn't know such a contest existed, but if I did, I would have voted for this. The number two choice for middle name for Macaulay Culkin is the McRib is back.
How about Macaulay McBoatface?
Oh, that would have been all right. That would have been a fun
this
middle name.
This is really crazy.
On December 25th, 2018, why, that's Christmas, Wendy, Culkin tweeted the winning name, writing, my new middle name has been chosen. You voted. The winner is clear. In 2019, my new legal name will be Macaulay Culkin Culkin. It is now April 2019, and Macaulay has yet to officially announce his name change, but he tweeted that it is happening. On Thursday, that's yesterday, an inquiring mind reached out to the Home Alone star on Twitter asking if he has actually changed his name yet. It is a surprisingly hard process, but yes, it is happening. I have to go down to the courthouse to do it, Culkin tweeted in response. That just yesterday. My middle name is something dumb. Is it Larry? Is it Orange? Honestly, I can't even remember it, he wrote. So I asked all of you to send in some better options so that I could go to the courthouse and explain to a judge why I need to change my middle name to something cool. Do you have to do, if you're changing your name, do you have to give a reason? You just have to show up and...
With the paperwork.
With the paperwork,
you don't have to give a reason.
And it's probably a nominal fee to change your name. But I don't think a judge, it's not a hearing, I don't think, to change your name. The four other options that came up, in addition to Macaulay Culkin and the McRib is back.
I like the McRib
is back. That should have been the middle name.
That's pretty funny.
Here were the other options. Shark Week. It's okay.
The McRib is back is best.
Kieran, which was a suggestion of Macaulay Culkin's brother, Kieran.
Right.
I already told you the McRib is back. And the other one, Publicity Stunt.
I don't like this whole thing.
That one's just honest.
Yeah.
Because that's what this is. It's a publicity stunt.
But it's not funny.
It's not funny, but it's honest. I was staring at my passport recently and stuff, and I was looking over my middle name, said Culkin, whose middle name is Carson. I think that's his dad's name. I think he's named after his dad, I'm pretty sure. He explained all this on The Tonight Show recently, and I felt like, you know, I should probably spruce my name up just a bit. The Home Alone star also mused that having Macaulay Culkin as a middle name would inject a bit of fun into his interaction with fans. So if anybody came up to me in an airport and said, excuse me, are you Macaulay Culkin? I could say, well, Macaulay Culkin is my middle name. It seems like a lot of work to go through just for that possible scenario.
Yeah.
Although Culkin admitted he never watched any part of Shark Week, an annual shark-themed TV sensation and one of his name choices, he told Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show that he found the McRib is back to be a pretty decent choice. I agree.
That's funny.
Look, it is back. I just tried one. Finally, it's a McRib. I mean, it's certainly back, Culkin reasoned.
He's crazy. I was watching, it's the Angry Video Game Nerd.
I don't know what that is.
It's
what is
a
that?
Guy who my sons watch on YouTube who is an angry video game nerd, and he was going through each and every version of the Home Alone game.
Yeah.
And the doorbell rings, and it's Macaulay Culkin delivering a pizza.
The real guy.
And joined him, and they were playing the games together, and it was pretty funny.
So a guy whose job it is to just go online and talk about video games actually gets guys like Macaulay Culkin to show up on his show?
I was kind of surprised that Macaulay Culkin showed
wow.
up.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Yeah, so he stops by to revisit the Home Alone games just in time for the holiday season, so it was before last Christmas.
Yeah.
And he looks great. He looks exactly the same. He doesn't have the pink hair or anything. He's
he looks
just in
good
great
again.
Shape.
He had a period yeah. there where when you saw pictures
well, we
of him.
We all go through the pink hair phase. All right.
Yeah, I guess. That's true.
All right, Macaulay and I did. I guess I look at you. You never went through the pink hair phase.
Not yet. At some point, I'll give in to it. We all do at some point.
And I thought he had something to do with the new release of Toe Jam and Earl. Which is a video game that was re-released, and there was some pretty big excitement about it, and I think he had something to do with that as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Giving them money or does a voice in there or something.
My wife, Terry, was in two movies with him and has nothing but good things to say about him, said he was always very professional and always a lot of fun. She played his mom in Only the Lonely.
That's she, a great
and
movie.
And his brother, Kieran, played
yeah.
her other son in that movie. And when we were selling our house, our real estate agent suggested that we put a nice family photo on the mantle so that when people walked in, they would see a family photo, and went through our pictures and chose that picture, a picture from the movie of my wife and her movie family over our real family. She said it looked more
That's
realistic.
Hurtful.
That was very hurtful. Very, very hurtful.
He was the executive producer on the new Toe Jam and Earl game. So it's produced by
him. So he's doing behind-the-scenes stuff. I'm a little surprised, because I have to say, he is a pretty decent actor. I mean, we know him mostly from his childhood roles, but he's been in stuff as an adult, and I always think he's good, but I'm always shocked that he's not in more stuff.
I am, too, and I really...
Is he typecast? Is that what it is with him?
I don't know.
Maybe when you see him initially, you think of him being Kevin...
He does look exactly the same, only
yeah,
in bigger form.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know that he has a band, I think, too.
He does. Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he doesn't want to act. I know he went through some, I think, some drug addiction issues.
Did he? Yeah.
I thought so.
I know he was accused of it because when you saw, there was a time where he was very, very thin. And as you mentioned, he had a color hair that wasn't natural.
It's natural if you're a cartoon.
Right. Right, right.
I thought he
so
had some
So I think when people
issues.
Saw pictures of him, they worried that maybe his life had taken a downturn. And I know his family life hasn't been exactly ideal. There were trouble with the parents.
Yeah, because, you know, I looked, you said you thought his dad's last name was Carson, and that's why that was his middle name. When you go to Google or wherever it comes up first, it might be Wikipedia, even though I hate them. It usually lists, you know, like spouse, siblings, parents.
Yes.
Everything but parents were listed there.
Oh, they don't even list them there.
Isn't that weird?
I wonder if that was by design. I wonder if he requested that.
Yeah, he...
His dad's name, I think, is Kit Carson. Which sounds like somebody from the Old West, but I think that's his dad's name.
He did have some. He had some drug charges where he was arrested.
Yeah,
in 2005.
Oh, Macaulay did?
Yeah,
oh.
I thought he had.
Oh,
some
I didn't know that.
Self-admitted.
And wasn't he married for like a couple of weeks? There's an actress named Rachel Miner that I think he married for a very, very short span of time, and then dated Mila Kunis for a long time.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I'm the Rona Barrett
well,
of our generation.
Well, yeah, then
Wendy.
Act like it. Then quit asking me to
I am the Rona Barrett of our generation. All right, we will take a break and then discuss more things with you. If you'd like to jump in, we would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or you can text us there. Coming up, tune in to the stream and hear us talk about what's hot and what's cold in terms of events in Chicago. Our friend Jerry Nunn joins us. He comes by at either the end or beginning of every month and tells us what we need to see and do in Chicago for the upcoming month. He's got a May edition coming up with a lot of exciting adventures. It's all sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. I used to write promo for Clutch Cargo. American Heating...
I got a American case of the giggles.
Sure. American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They're the 60-minute men.
You hear Bill searching for a word,
I go
and
to
then
adventures,
just adventures comes
because
out.
That sounds dangerous. And that's what Jerry Nunn is. He's dangerous. I don't trust him. Jasmine, frisk him before he comes into the studio. I don't trust Jerry Nunn.
Wearing a disguise
He's
today.
Always wearing a disguise.
My God, you are funny.
Thank you. All right, Wendy. Oh, it's sad.
What?
Stop laughing.
What?
I have sad
oh, no.
news.
Well, now I'm crying. What? I really am. You made me laugh so hard I'm
the
crying.
The romance that we thought would last forever
oh,
is
God.
Over.
Oh.
Who would that be? Who is the show business romance that you said to yourself, well, these are two people that are destined to be together till the end of time and maybe a year beyond that? Who would that be?
I don't care anymore.
You just don't care? Wow.
I don't know. I was going to say.
I appreciate the honesty.
Angelina and Brad, but they
no,
are
that's already
over.
Split. That's already done. Who else?
Kate Hudson and a musician.
Just any musician?
I can't keep
any
up.
Any of them? Really?
I can't keep up.
Tommy Dorsey and Kate Hudson?
Well, no.
Kate Beckinsale and Pete Davidson. The knee.
Oh, I should have guessed him.
Done.
Yeah, but he's just...
He's what?
He has worked out a deal. Listen, I think... I love him.
Yes.
And I kind of don't know why I do. Every character he does on SNL, it's usually himself.
It's Pete Davidson,
yeah.
Right.
And he's okay as an actor.
Yeah.
I love him for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. And
can I guess why?
Yes.
We all know Pete Davidson. We don't know the real Pete Davidson, but we all know a guy who's just like Pete Davidson, who's in love with the idea of falling in love.
Yeah, but right? What I'm saying here is these women, these beautiful actresses,
yes.
fall for him because he sometimes...
He's vulnerable, don't you think?
Yes, but and that's involved in it because sometimes
yeah.
women see somebody who I think I can help him. Poor thing, he's mm-hmm. adorable. Come on, I'll take care of him. And then mm-hmm. perhaps when they start doing it, they realize, wow,
this is quite a project.
Yes,
yes, maybe.
But he's charismatic, and I'm honestly not even sure why.
Right.
But I love him.
Would you, if you were in a situation, you're married and have a family, and you have things you need to do, but if things were right, would you yourself fall in love with Pete Davidson?
It sounds like quite an adventure,
it would
Bill.
Be an adventure.
I probably. I would.
You would fall in love with him, but you would know that his track record is...
But you
it
feel like you can
long.
Help them, and yeah. some people have this thing. I like to try and help people. I want everybody to be happy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
very
never
realistic.
It is the most unrealistic thing I've ever had. I want everybody to be happy and no one to be disappointed with
right.
me. I will never achieve that.
It's impossible.
But you look at him and you think, like, he just needs a little help. I'm
right.
the one who's going to help him get back
yeah.
on his feet.
Yeah. Do you think maybe, though, sometimes these famous women that are in love with him and he falls in love with, maybe they know that this is just a way to get on the front page of any celebrity
news?
You don't think so? No.
I think if anybody, he's the one who thinks if I hook up with another starlet,
oh.
that'll get me some more press.
Oh. You know who he reminds me of is not in structure, not in look, not in tone, but,
but in what?
But
then?
In the way he just keeps finding beautiful woman after beautiful woman to fall for him. Remember this guy who used to be on that 70s show called something Vildorama?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that guy? He went out with everybody.
Fez.
Yeah, the guy who played
Wilmer Valderrama.
Wilder Valderrama.
Wilmer.
Yeah. Wilmer! He dated Fred Flintstone for a while, remember? How in the world, like, I mean, Fez was fine, but, like, you look at the list of the girls that
he's pretty good looking.
I guess.
He's go really good looking.
I would fall in love with Pete Davidson over Wilderrama. That's just
Wilmer Valderrama.
Valderrama.
You're combining his name.
You know what his middle name is?
Wilderrama.
His middle name is Macaulay Culkin. Did you know that? Kate Beckinsale and Pete Davidson. So, oh, spoiler alert, by the way, everybody. Which you have to say if you're talking about anything this week. Spoiler alert. Kate Beckinsale and Pete Davidson have called it off. Their three-month romance is over. According to Entertainment Tonight, the Widow star... What's The Widow?
A movie, maybe?
Oh, that's the movie. That's the movie that came out when their romance became a thing. Because that's when I said to myself, how handy is this of Kate Beckinsale to fall in love with a celebrity the week her movie comes out? Wasn't that great timing? The Widow star and the Saturday Night Live comedian have parted ways amicably. They're still friendly, but they are not on romantic terms, a source told the publication. That's Entertainment Weekly. I'm sorry, Entertainment Tonight.
She didn't use him to...
That's what I'm afraid of.
He's not the guy to use. Go with Wilmer Valderrama.
Go with Wilder Valderrama.
Wilderrama.
Wilderrama.
He should go by that. Just combine them.
There used to be a kid show on called Wonderama when we were little. Do you remember that? It was on Sunday mornings. Wonderama.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I bet that's how they named their child. They named him after that show, I bet. These rumors should be taken with a pinch of salt, according to People magazine. Oh, it sounds like People is warning people not to listen to Entertainment Tonight, that they've got better sources. People's reporting that the pair is still dating, but they have decided to slow things down a bit.
It's hard to go backwards.
That's the kiss of death, right? If you're in a romantic relationship with somebody and you all decide, well, let's just slow things down, that's step one. You're done. It's over.
You can't slow things down once they've...
No. No.
...zoomed forward.
Once they've zoomed forward, Wendy, you cannot slow things down. People also says they got super serious very fast, and isn't that the Pete Davidson way?
Yes, 100%.
He falls in... He dives into the deepest end of the pool. That's for swimmers listening that needed an analogy. I provided one. Elsewhere, another insider told Page Six, I believe that's a British publication, I think, that Beckinsale struggled with the attention during her relationship with Pete. Why would she struggle with the attention?
Because he got most of it?
Is that why?
Because maybe it was negative attention.
Oh,
what are you
maybe.
Doing with him?
Yeah.
She ended it with him. God, I hope... I didn't even think for a minute she would use him to...
To further her own career?
Because obviously, whoever he's dating, they're kind of making it a bit on SNL now.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe I should try it. Get some press for the show.
You got to run this past your husband.
All right.
I'm not sure he would buy in. Maybe. Page Six says that she struggled with the attention on her relationship with Pete and the fact that he lives his life with his heart on his sleeve, which is not good for blood consumption. You want your heart right in the middle of your chest cavity, not on your sleeve, Pete Davidson. Although he's tall, so maybe he needs to redistribute his blood pumps differently than I do. The same outlet states that it was not the couple's much-talked-about age difference that contributed to the split. The age difference is that Kate Beckinsale is 45 years old and Pete Davidson is 25 years old.
It's been done before.
20?
It'll be done again. Yeah.
That's not that big of a deal, is it? If two people went, are in love for a 90-day span, the aide should have nothing to do with it. When they were spotted leaving the Golden Globes after a party on the 6th, since then, oh, that was the last time. Since then, they have been photographed packing on the PDA at numerous, that's public displays of affection.
I know.
Some people might not know. At numerous events, including New York Rangers hockey games and at Madison Square Garden in March.
He's going to the same places with each of these women. Do you notice
Does
this?
Do
They're
that?
Doing a game together. That's where we saw someone else with him, I thought, before.
Who would you put him with? Who will he be safe with? Because now I'm
Miley Cyrus. Oh, she's married, so never mind.
Yeah.
Lilo.
Lilo?
What's her name?
From Lilo and Stitch?
No. what do they call her? We just saw her on TV the other day. Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan.
Lilo.
Oh, I thought you meant the little cartoon from Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo means Lindsay Lohan.
Because at some point, that Pete Davidson is going to be relegated to just dating Disney cartoon princesses.
Now,
it'll last longer.
It might. For,
who are you dating? Ariel from Little Mermaid. How long have you guys been together? A year now. Oh, it's made to last.
Listen, Demi Moore was 41. Ashton Kutcher was 25.
Right.
So
right.
A little less than this age gap. But
right.
That lasted a while.
Yeah.
And a marriage. Didn't they end up getting married?
Yeah, but where are they now?
He's back where he should be with Mila Kunis.
Yes. All right. Well, we wish nothing but good luck to, I think, both of them, don't we? Pete Davidson, for sure, and Kate Beckinsale, maybe.
Somebody suggested Pete Davidson should change his middle name to David McPeterson.
All right. That might be the step in the
Pete
right direction.
Pete David McPeterson Davidson.
Yeah.
I don't even understand
it. That
would
be great.
It made me laugh.
That would be great. All right. We'll take a break. We are headed toward the stream, and we would love to have you join us or stick around right here and listen to the Wintrust Business Lunch with our friend Steve. It's two good options for you. Stick around. More ahead. Bill and Wendy.
And Eric Rung coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.